This is your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss a major investigation called Border 911, the misinformation network profiting off the invasion narrative. Today's guest, border journalist Melissa Del Bosque and her colleagues, report that a network of dark money, consulting and security companies, and charity organizations led by former intelligence officers and ex-feds have been spreading propaganda and laying the groundwork for presidential election challenges. The Border 911 investigation is a collaboration between Lighthouse Reports, the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, the Texas Observer, Palabra, and the Puente News Collaborative. Melissa Del Bosque is a longtime border journalist, investigations editor at Lighthouse Reports, and co-founder of the Border Chronicle newsletter. Melissa has written about the U.S.-Mexico border since 1998 for many publications, including ProPublica and The Intercept. Hi, Melissa. Huge thanks to you and your colleagues for this important investigation, and thanks for joining us again.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, since you have been reporting on the border for so long, I would love to get your take on major media coverage of how we got to this point. I mean, Donald Trump started by saying racist things about Mexicans. That was so much of his campaign. And who would have thought that it would have gotten worse? But it has gotten worse. Talking about the insulting lies in Springfield, Ohio. What are your thoughts, first off, about how these issues are being covered by major media outlets?
Well, it's been interesting. Like you said, I've been doing this since the late 90s, paying very close attention, of course, to the U.S.-Mexico border and how it's portrayed in the larger national media. And along of, you know, what's happened is at the same time, the U.S. media landscape has really changed a lot. A lot of local outlets along the border have closed, statewide outlets have closed, and the remaining outlets have laid off a lot of people. So there's very few people covering the border anymore from the border to push back against these narratives that are being, you know, spread by Trump and the sort of MAGA news ecosystem, which has gotten really quite large. I really noticed it at the beginning of the Biden administration that a lot of national outlets pulled their people from covering the border, and Fox News sent, you know, several news crews down to the border who have been there 24/7 ever since Biden took office, mm-hmm. along with other right-wing outlets. And then they have a larger system of content creators who sort of echo whatever they're saying on different social media platforms. So it's this very powerful MAGA media ecosystem that has really defined the narrative on the border. And, you know, the Democrats have been left with just reacting to this framework that's been created of, you know, immigrants as criminals, were under invasion, and the kind of stuff that you saw happening in Ohio.
And so that explains why the right has really been able to shape the narrative on immigration. Because if you look at the border bill that Trump told Republicans not to vote for, I mean, that's a very conservative border bill.
Yeah, it's very conservative. And they've worked, you know, the MAGA network of media and content creators have worked really hard over the last 4 years to just build this framework. And, you know, the Democrats made a big mistake. I think they've not wanted to deal with the border or really talk about it much. So they left this vacuum that's been filled with this very sort of hate-filled rhetoric, anti-immigrant rhetoric. And now they're left in a position of just having to react to this framework that's been built, to the point where a lot of people in the country believe that we are under invasion. There was a poll that came out, I think last year, maybe it was during the midterm, where it said, you know, a good portion of Americans believe now that we are under invasion at the border, which I, as a person who lives at the border, I can tell you that we are not.
You know, can you elaborate on this, Melissa? Because my dad has a couple of friends who are Trump supporters. And when I ask them why they're voting for Trump, they all say immigration. I mean, they live in Sonoma County and they say immigration. So can you, I think this is so important. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very, very effective. And so, you know, saying that we're under invasion is part of the Great Replacement Conspiracy, which is a racist conspiracy theory that, you know, immigrants of color are willfully being allowed into the country to replace white Americans and to replace white voters. And in the Border 911 investigation that we do, these are, you know, former state and federal law enforcement, many of them who worked under the Trump administration, who are going around and giving talks everywhere and saying that the Democrats are willfully allowing people to cross so that they will vote for Democrats and Democrats will remain in power for forever, which is a complete lie, of course. But it's been very effective, and there's a lot of strategic editing of video and things of because we are receiving people from, you know, around the world who are arriving at the border asking for asylum, but they're presenting themselves to border agents. They're not trying to sneak in. They're actually presenting themselves. But through the media content that's been created and strategic editing and the way things are presented, they make it appear to the rest of the country that, you know, military age men from China, for instance, they'll use a lot of military type definitions for people. They make it seem very nefarious, as, you know, that this is happening illicitly or something when it's not.
The investigation that you wrote with colleagues from a number of media outlets, it is very in-depth. You write about Border 911. This is a tax-exempt foundation formed in Virginia last October, and its goal is to, quote, educate the American people about the facts of a non-secure border. This is according to IRS filings. When you go to the Border 911 website, it says, our team boasts unparalleled expertise built on decades of experience in border security. We didn't just contribute to the most secure border in history. We helped create it. And in capital letters, it says, every state is a border state. How did you all first learn about Border 911?
Well, like I said, I've covered the border for many years. And so this organization was formed by Tom Homan, who was acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement under Trump. And Tom Homan is a longtime federal agent. He's now retired. He was with ICE for many, many years. And he's actually the person who came up with the idea for family separation and really pushed for it within Trump's administration. So he has a long history in you know, border immigration policy. And so he's characterizing himself and this group as, you know, we're experts. Many of them worked for Trump. And, you know, they characterize the Biden administration's management of the border as the biggest national security threat since 9/11. So there's a lot of hyperbole, a lot of scare, fear-mongering about the border. They pushed this narrative a lot that we are under invasion. And it's really a way for them, of course, to campaign for Trump being back in office. And Trump has already said he's going to give Homan like a top position within his administration and that he'll be in charge of the mass deportations that Trump says he wants to carry out if he's reelected.
You note in the piece that in July, Tom Homan said, quote, Trump comes back in January, I will be on his heels and I will run the biggest deportation force this country has ever seen. They ain't seen SHIT yet. Wait until 2025. I'm guessing a lot of people have never heard of Border 911. A lot of people may have never heard of Tom Homan. And you write that outside of right-wing media, his group and their and the members have largely flown under the radar. So what explains that? Does that go back to what you said about how so many newspapers along the border are just shutting down and we just don't have as many journalists keeping tabs on this?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the problem, that we just don't have enough eyes on this to really investigate these guys and to really get to the bottom of what exactly it is that they're doing. Which is really unfortunate, because I think now more than ever, you know, this is going to be probably the most consequential election in our lives, that we really need to pay close attention to what's happening. But there's so many different things happening all at once, and there's a lot fewer journalists to cover it, and also journalists who have the context and the history of border coverage, you know, to understand exactly what these guys are really talking about and what they really want to do.
You write that Homan's cavalry, who are publicly featured as team members, include former state and federal law enforcement, some of whom have intelligence backgrounds, including Rodney Scott, former Border Patrol chief, Derek Maltz, a former Drug Enforcement Agency special agent, Victor Avila, a former agent with Homeland Security Investigations, Sarah Carter, a Fox News contributor, Jason Jones, Texas Department of Public Safety captain turned Newsmax correspondent. So there's former government officials and then right-wing media figures involved in Border 911.
Yeah, the really interesting thing is that some of them have sort of recast themselves as journalists, in quotes. Hmm. Like, you know, like Jason Jones, who's a particularly interesting guy. You know, he was in the intelligence division for Texas Department of Public Safety, which is the state police agency there. And now he's a Newsmax correspondent. And of course, Newsmax is like to the right of Fox News. You know, it's basically like a MAGA propaganda arm. So he does content for them, and he goes down to the border, and he spends a lot of time, he gets a lot of access to DPS, helicopters, you know, intelligence, and then he turns around and uses that in his pieces that he does for Newsmax. And he always characterizes the border as under invasion, and you know, this is the fault of Biden and the Democrats. So it's a very sort of partisan, fear-mongering type of, you know, news content. And then, you know, Tom Homan is also a contributor to Fox. Sarah Carter is a contributor to Fox. And so they often do interviews and news pieces where they always equate immigrants as criminals, and you know, they're flooding the border. They use a lot of like scare type words to describe migration at the border.
We're speaking with Melissa Del Bosque, a longtime border journalist, investigations editor at Lighthouse Reports and co-founder of the Border Chronicle newsletter. Melissa and her colleagues at several media organizations, including the Texas Observer and the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, are out with a major investigation called Border 911, the misinformation network profiting off the invasion narrative. Melissa will be with us for about 10 more minutes. So if you have any questions for her, she's a longtime border reporter. She knows what's really going on at the border. If you have questions about what you've been hearing in the media or from the right, and then why aren't Democrats pushing back against a lot of these myths, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. So tell us more about what these people are doing. They're spreading fear, traveling to many, many states across the country. You also write that at a White House meeting back in 2020, Mike Flynn and someone who is part of Border 911 counseled Trump to use National Guard soldiers to seize voting machines to overturn the election. Just tell us, what else are they doing, given that until this report, we've not heard about Border 911?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about Border 911 is that it originally wasn't Tom Homan's idea. It came out of the America Project, which is a dark money organization run by Patrick Byrne and Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. And Patrick Byrne made his millions running Overstock.com. And, you know, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn was the national security advisor for Trump for a little bit, but he pled guilty to a felony of making false statements to the FBI about his communications with Russia. So he was forced to leave the Trump administration. And he and Byrne have been major, major funders of election conspiracy groups. They funded the Cyber Ninja audit in Arizona after the 2020 election, which was just a total debacle. So they're majorly involved in election denial efforts. And so Border 911 was originally part of their organization, and then Tom Homan spun it off into his own nonprofit. So there's a lot of overlap between the two groups, which is interesting. I guess the sense is that, you know, border security, immigration is a really strong talking point for Trump. He's always talking about it. Mm-hmm. So this is a way for them to get to voters, you know, to persuade people to vote for Trump.
You also write that they have a pretty strong legislative agenda, and some of this has already been adopted in conservative states like Texas. So you write that Arizona Representative Steve Montenegro publicly touted a Border 911 legislative agenda for the 2023 session that included declaring cartels foreign terrorist organizations, repurposing the Arizona National Guard as a border force, allowing unauthorized immigrants to agree to orders of deportation to avoid prosecution, and prohibiting migrants from pleading down charges if they cause the death of an American citizen. And these mirror some initiatives that Texas has already adopted under Republican Governor Greg Abbott. Can you tell us more about what bills they're pushing and where you're seeing some of these across the country?
Yeah, well, Steve Montenegro is a state rep in Arizona, and he's also on the payroll of America Project. He was their national policy director and then a consultant. So they held a press conference in Arizona with Tom Homan and Jason Jones and some legislators there, you know, announcing Border 911 and saying they were going to have these Border 911 endorsed bills. And you read off some of them there. There's been a big push by former cabinet members of Trump's administration, people like Ken Cuccinelli, Russ Vought, who are pushing for states' rights, for states to have control over immigration enforcement. And Texas has already really gone pretty far down this road with its Operation Lone Star, which is a state-funded military-like enforcement initiative where they have National Guard and police at the border. And they're arresting people who are seeking asylum for trespassing and then putting them in like state-run jails. So these guys are pushing for Arizona to do something similar to that. And there's a proposition that we have now in Arizona called Secure the Border Act that people are voting on right now. And that would allow the state of Arizona to declare an invasion on the border and be able to send National Guard to push people back into Mexico. And this is part of like a real like heritage Project 2025 kind of thing to push the state rights initiatives in various states around the country.
Melissa, given that you have covered the border for so long, what do you think about Trump's threats to deport millions of people? Time magazine asked him how he would go about doing this, and he said that there will not be camps, that what they plan to do is to put people on planes immediately and fly them out of the country. What are your thoughts? What should we think about when Trump says he's going to deport millions of people?
Well, I mean, they'll certainly try it for sure. The infrastructure to do something like that is not really there, and it's going to cost billions and billions of dollars. So it's going to be very, very chaotic and very disruptive and really terrible, because, I mean, most families are mixed status families. So it's going to really break apart families. It would be a very horrendous thing to witness. I mean, I was on the border when he sent active duty military regarding the caravans. I remember the big scare about caravans coming, building up to the midterm election, and it was strange. There were military encampments in Texas of soldiers, you know, with barracks and everything, which was surreal. And I think most Americans don't remember that, but it was called like Operation Freedom or something like that. So, I mean, they won't hesitate to try it again. And there will be encampments. I'm sure there will be. I mean, I've seen him do that before, you know, during the previous administration. So, yeah, it would be pretty terrible.
There is also, as you know, so much media attention about Latinos voting for Donald Trump. Do you think that much coverage is warranted? Are the numbers that high? Have they changed that much?
Well, I've covered South Texas. That's really my specialty. And there has been a very intense interest from Steve Bannon and those folks. And, you know, of course, he's been a big advisor to Trump in the past and helped found Breitbart, which is a conservative MAGA outlet. And they specifically targeted South Texas many, many years ago with Texas Breitbart. They've been focused for many years on trying to churn South Texas red, because it's been a solidly blue region in Texas for decades. So they have made inroads through just constant propaganda, you know, that we're under invasion, you need to protect your communities. At the same time, you know, as we've received so many people from around the world seeking asylum, it's not been handled well by the Biden administration also. And it's been, you know, communities along the border have been left in many ways on their own, you know, to try to deal with it and to find the funding to deal with it. So, yeah, so it's a complex issue. I think, you know, the Biden administration has made a mistake by not being engaged from day one in what has been happening. And this is, I should add, this is a global issue. You know, we have like unprecedented migration happening everywhere. We have boatloads of people who are arriving across the English Channel in England from France. We have people who are dying in the Mediterranean trying to get from Africa to Europe. So this is an issue affecting many countries right now.
Right. Well, Melissa, we'd love to have you back to do a more extensive show about immigration, just to talk about the actual facts. Because when you see these things repeated over and over again, it's easy to believe them. And millions of people are. And as you say, it's also important to note, in fact, I'm glad you brought this up, because Axios has a piece just a couple days ago about how an uptick in newspaper closures this year has left more than half of the nation's over 3,100 counties, or 55 million people, with just one or no local news source where they live. So this is really a crisis that we have to spend more time talking about.
Yes, I totally agree. Definitely.
Well, we'd love to have you back, Melissa. Huge thanks to you and your colleagues for your important reporting. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Melissa Del Bosque is a longtime border journalist, investigations editor at Lighthouse Reports, and co-founder of the Border Chronicle newsletter. Melissa and her colleagues at Lighthouse Reports, the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, the Texas Observer, Palabra, and the Puente News Collaborative are out with a new investigation called Border 911, the Misinformation Network Profiting Off the Invasion Narrative. And you can find a link at your call. Actually, it's KALW.org. Click news and then your call. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And if you are in the Bay Area, we hope you can join us on election night. We'll be doing a live broadcast at 111 Minna in San Francisco. Go to KALW.org for more information. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.